Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 26a. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. And then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is the week, historically, when Jerusalem was laid waste. The 10th Sunday after Trinity was always a day appointed to hear Jesus' own prophecy right after he rides into Jerusalem on his donkey, when he weeps at the sight of the great Temple Mount and says, "I would have gathered you, but you would not." How tragic that they did not know the day of their visitation. As he goes on teaching about this later, as we hear today in Luke's gospel, he juxtaposes the destruction of that temple and that city with the end of the world, which might seem a little dramatic, except that it would be the end of the world if you were a Jew. It should be the end of your world if your God leaves you. If, as it says dramatically here in the Lord's own words, that these are days of vengeance, that means revenge, something that was planned, something that was earned, something that now has to be meted out, and that it is fulfilling everything that had been written in advance. And when the temple goes away, when God leaves you, your religion is done, or at least it ought to be. This is then the polemical position that we still maintain to this day against the Jewish religion, is that they have continued in something, using, of course, the words of God, the oracles, which they, far before us, received from God, and yet to continue on with all of the trappings and even with the scriptures, but lack the Lord that they preach. Lack the God who comes to visit his people in the flesh, the Lord of old, now come among his people. To lack that is to lack everything. It is to be, as was said about them, those who are doing all of the actions and speaking with their mouths, but with hearts that are far from their God. And that's why our church ought to still, to this day, pray for the salvation of those who are Jewish, because unless they would believe in Christ, these words would still apply. Now, the same is true for us, right? If Christ were not raised, if our temple that was destroyed after 3 days were not raised again after 3 days, then our faith would be in vain too. So if you've ever pondered what it would be like to hear that news story, that they actually did find the tomb of Jesus, that there's his body that we uncovered. Oh yeah, there's all sorts of writings about how he actually is there, and people checked it out and found it. If you've thought about that at all after convention, then you understand at least what's at stake, what a great moment this was, and why it would be paired up with the end of the world. So It's good that in the middle of the summer we would take a moment to consider for ourselves the end of the world, to consider for ourselves, even though we don't expect St. Louis to be raised, nor would it be such a horrible tragedy for our faith, nor do we necessarily know if tomorrow will be the day, but that we would think about it in advance, do what we'll hear about on Friday, and be ready at all times for his coming. And this is the key, because if these are days of vengeance that are fulfilled in 70 AD, if they are fulfilling not only, as Jesus says, all that is written, but let's be honest, fulfilling all that was spoken in these very words by Jesus, who himself gives a prophecy that absolutely comes to pass, then what St. Paul has written in 1 Corinthians 10 is so important. We say this all the time. I hope you've heard this phrase before. It comes from the Bible there. These things were written for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. And there, that's the part that we don't quote as much, but this is the point. With Christ's advent is the end of the world. Now it is playing out. Now we see that his word is going out. We hear about that today, that even though wrath has fallen against this people, and indeed continues to fall against those people and against many people since then, all of this is to happen until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. The great and beautiful ministry and conversation that we hear, especially in Romans from St. Paul, about his zeal for his own people and nevertheless his continued service to the Gentiles, out of which so much of this congregation gathered, no doubt, comes. So then, what should we think and know and believe about the end of the world as we consider it? I think our hymn today is one that ought to be in your quick list always. It's just a perfect summary of what we believe. If you had this plus the little explanation at the end of Luther's catechism for at the last day he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ, this is most certainly true. If you knew this, you'd be well prepared for the end of the world. You'd be able to teach other people rightly about what to expect and what the Lord has warned us about. So let's take a moment to look at it. The day is surely drawing near. This hymn echoes the famous Dies Irae, the day of wrath and mourning, the medieval sequence which even was in our old hymnal and which is remarkably evangelical. But Scripture has long warned us that this was coming. This is what Jesus says, that days of vengeance are fulfilling all that is written. We know that there will be flames on earth, that the earth will be both destroyed and at the same time renewed and recreated as the Lord will have it. In stanza 2, we hear about the trumpet. We hear essentially 1 Thessalonians 4 played out for us, Paul's explanation of how the last day and its ordering will go so that we can be comforted, so that those who are mourning can be comforted in their grief, Paul says, with these words. So we see what about the last day? That the Lord comes loudly, openly, suddenly, but not secretly, with great power. And the purpose is to raise all of the dead. With them also, those who are still alive at his coming, as 1 Thessalonians says, will be changed suddenly at a twinkling of an eye. We will have a resurrection not of those who have died, but a resurrection and a change of those who are still living, as we heard yesterday as well. In the third stanza, we hear about the books being opened. This is the language of judgment, of testing, of determining and proving who, in fact, will be found worthy of eternal life. We hear that this happens to everybody. There's no partiality. It is to those who are great and famous, but also to those who are maybe unknown. And that, in fact, our hearts, not only the deeds that might have lasted or that might be in our social media record, but all the things that are deep inside of us, these will be made known, laid clear, evident. And that, of course, is the scary thing. That is the thing that we are desperate to keep under wraps now, our failures. And we fear that they would get out. They will get out on the last day. And we know the result of this that stands before, that woe and condemnation and judgment to destruction is what will happen to those who are found sinful, found with seeking everything except the Word of God. They will get their just deserts, as Jesus teaches with the sheep and the goats. They ask the question, well, where is it that we failed you in any way, Lord? And there is plenty of evidence to condemn them. To hand them over to Satan, it says, not so that he can have them pleasurably in his kingdom, but so that they can face the same judgment that he himself is facing. It says here in particular, this is those who despised God's costly, precious word, which means both the word of warning like we hear in today's reading, as well as the word that could save. And that is what the last three stanzas deliver. That is what the times of the Gentiles cause the Lord's delay, because he wants that all should reach repentance. He wants us to heed that judgment is coming. He wants us to consider those open hearts that now are to a certain degree hidden and not let them be hidden to us. He wants us to repent now. And he wants us to trust now in Christ Jesus and in his word and in his death for our salvation. He wants us not to run to any earthly temple, but to run to Christ Jesus in his word and in his sacraments, which do avail, and yes, which are raised from the dead and which are not ever going to leave us. God forbid that we should leave them. Because look at what faith gives us. It allows us to pass through. It shows us who has paid any debts that are remaining for our sins, who has written our names in the book of life. Indeed, Jesus is himself the book of life, and he has engraved us on the palms of his hands. This is then not to make us always fearful, always wondering whether we will make it on the last day, but it is to make us confident, and Jesus says elsewhere, that if we are in his word, that's the thing that will survive, even though temples and heaven and earth itself should pass away. Christ is our intercessor by his blood. He will read at the last day that we are free. He will say, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we will be glad then. So stanza 7 bursts into prayer. Jesus, do not delay. Maranatha, like the last words of Revelation. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, more than a table prayer, asking him to deliver us from all of the tribulation that certainly we see. The times of the Gentiles are just as troublesome as the times of the Jews, if you wish to call them that. But the point is that even though we tremble on our way, God be praised, we learn to look to him. We learn not to be undone by these dramatic and terrible and frightening things in the world, but we learn, as he says, to straighten up our heads and see that our redemption is drawing near in all of it. Not a wonder, but a certainty. For our Lord Jesus has borne the punishment for us. Our Lord Jesus is the true temple, not made with hands, who even though he was torn down, behold, lives forever for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.